At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
I think that a lot of people have this hope that, oh, you know, if only Muslims could just be like Christians and follow the same course of history of going through Reformation, Enlightenment, secularism. But if Islam is a different religion than Christianity, then presumably it will not follow the same course. And it doesn't have to follow the same course. I want to challenge people and say, well, this maybe is how what we might want ideally as Western liberals, but there may be people who want Islam to have something to say about public life and politics.
That's Shadi Hamid, author of Islamic Exceptionalism, How the Struggle Over Islam is Reshaping the World, speaking recently on National Public Radio about the compatibility of Islam and democracy. It's been a mixed bag. It certainly has been very mixed results. Sometimes where democracy holds sway in an Islamic country, the results are okay, and sometimes they are horrific. I need only mention the word Arab Spring, which turned into 2 years of, well, essentially Islamic revolution in the Middle East. Joining us to talk about the compatibility of Islam and democracy, Dr. Adam Francisco, Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California, and author of the book Martin Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd.
When you heard politicians in the recent past opine that if we could just, in these Islamic countries, the Middle East and elsewhere, if we could just get rid of the ruthless dictators there and the despots and install democracy, then things would turn around for the better in the Middle East. What were your thoughts?
I thought it was a pipe dream, very naive. In fact, what happened in the Arab Spring, especially like, for example, Egypt in 2011, when there was a real democratic election, when Mohamed Morsi, the Islamist or the Muslim Brotherhood member, was elected as president, it was, to those who have studied Islam for, you know, study its history and its political institutions, it was no surprise at all.
So is this the result of a fundamental incompatibility between Islam and how democracy is supposed to work? Or is democracy working just fine? There's things we don't understand rightly about Islam and how democracy works in conjunction with it.
Yeah, it's our problem is understanding Islam. And it really depends on what we mean by we. In the soundbite you had before the program by Shadi Hamid, he referred to us as Western liberals, and Western liberals who have this notion who that everything is just sort of constructed by humans, law, politics, following this sort of progressive arc in history, they seem incapable of understanding the rootedness, if you will, the theological rootedness of Islam. But if we're talking about us Christians who have a sense that God has revealed himself and sort of propositional truth claims that his will ought to be or is true and so on, we're in a pretty good position to understand kind of where Muslims are coming from, or at least those who are trying to be authentically Muslim, if you will, in that Muslims, traditional classic-minded Muslims, really do believe what is in the Quranic text, what is exemplified in the life and traditions of Muhammad and the early Muslim community is sort of a blueprint, if you will, politically, legally, culturally, and so on and so forth for all times. So if you're expecting, if you have kind of a progressivist view that everything is moving forward in a direction where every liberal democracy is sort of the telos of all things, things, you're just simply not going to be able to understand Islamic affairs because their worldview is very different.
So what is it that's, what about that worldview is fundamentally misunderstood by that liberal approach to understanding democracy and Islam?
Well, Shadi Hamid, in his book, Islamic Exceptionalism, the man who you had the soundbite from, he's got a great section on this. I think it's the second chapter where he says, you will not understand Islam if you don't understand how much or how they take their holy text. It is not, the Quran is not just a book that was written down by a man or perhaps a committee that was inspired by the spirit of Allah or something like that, but that text is God's eternal speech, breaking into time and space at all times and all places. So they are, you know, they are quintessential fundamentalists in the most, I guess, precise meaning of the term, literalists from start to finish, at least the traditional type of Muslim. And, you know, there are other, certainly other components, but in terms, that's the basic foundation or the authority in Islam. In terms of how the worldview works out, the traditional Muslim, or what people are kind of calling Islamists today, see that everything from not just law and theology or politics, but including dress and hygiene and relations between men and women and, you know, husband and wife and their children and so on and so forth, all of that should be ordered around the text of the Quran, the example of Muhammad, and should be copied as best as you're able. If you ask a traditional Muslim what their, you know, who they are most inspired by or who their great example is for how to live, and by how to live we mean every aspect of life, they will say, well, of course, it's the so-called perfect man, Muhammad. So that's very different. Say, if we compare Islam to Christianity, Christianity certainly has a pretty distinct worldview anchored in the text, the biblical text. But there's a, you know, the Bible is a primarily a book about a person, and it's a book pointing you to that person. It's not a, doesn't provide a comprehensive blueprint to things like politics or what have you. In fact, you could say the Bible's kind of ambivalent towards politics. It certainly says that God ordains government, but doesn't tell you what sort of government should have or anything. So that book, Shadi Hamid's Islamic Exceptionalism, is making that point that Islam is distinct, and you can't expect it to be like Christianity or Western liberalism or any other sort of competing worldview or ideology for that matter.
One of the things that Shadi Hamid actually said in the course of that NPR interview was that we fundamentally misunderstand organizations, groups like ISIS, if we think that they are not sincere in their beliefs and if we think that they have somehow just kind of use Islam as a facade or a brand in order to push their violence. He says these people believe that this is Islam. They are enacting precisely through their violence. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that's the, if you will, the deal with ISIS is, it's not, back when they first emerged and after President Obama called them the JV team for Al-Qaeda, he said something in one of his speeches that something to the effect of, we should make no mistake in considering ISIS Islamic. It's an aberration at best. And the response by even liberal academics, like Graham Wood, for example, was that, no, the problem with ISIS is that it's extremely Islamic. They are probably the modern instantiation of a literalist Muslim. Now, they certainly have a very peculiar interpretation of Islamic law, but they are right in the middle of, you know, in the middle of mainstream historic Islam. There have always been organizations like ISIS, to put it another way, in the history of Islam.
Then the other thing that I wanted you to respond to has to do with something that Shadi Hamid said about when democracy is kind of given a free hand in Islamic societies. And he said it this way, and I need to see if it needs to be further parsed, that Islam will want a place in society. Now, to me, that sounded like Islamic law, the Quran, maybe even Sharia law. Am I reading too much into that?
I don't think so. No. Muslims, again, traditional, classic-minded Muslims who want to be really authentic, are going to view Islam and everything that goes along with it, from law to everything else, as true. And not just true for them, but true and good, if you will, for the whole world. So there will, regardless of where a Muslim or a community of Muslims is located, they are always going to, through different means, absolutely, whether it be using democracy or activism or violence or whatever it might be, they're always going to be advocating for, asserting, and trying to promote Islamic causes such as compliance with Sharia law.
Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest. He's Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California, and author of the book Martin Luther and Islam. When we come back from the break, so let's talk about what has happened recently when democracy coincides with a majority Islam country.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you've ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and have wondered why more people from my congregation aren't here, check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so the pastors of your circuit can organize, promote, and present a seminar that appeals to the members of your congregation, even the youth, is provided free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
We're talking about whether Islam is compatible with democracy. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Adam Francisco is our guest, Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California, and author of the book Martin Luther and Islam. Islam has a version of Jesus Christ, by the way. They hold him in high regard, at least for Islam. He is a prophet, second only to Muhammad. He is believed to have been a miracle worker, and they even have a Jesus in their eschatology. They believe that Jesus will return on the last day, but they omit the heart and soul of what Scripture reveals about the true Jesus Christ. False Christ is the subject of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up, 12 False Christs by Dr. Matt Richard. You can find out more about this book right there at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Earlier in our conversation, Dr. Francisco, you mentioned Egypt, and I want you to contrast, if you would, Egypt, which is the more recent kind of attempt at democracy, which was disastrous in several different ways and for several different reasons, and Turkey, which people often point to as, well, there's an Islamic country in which for a time, for actually quite a long time, democracy of a form managed to thrive. How would you contrast those two?
Well, recent history in, or events in Turkey is suggesting that while Turkey is a secular and was set up that way right after World War One with Kemal Ataturk, well, it's secular and has kind of democratic institutions. It's being slowly, if you will, with Erdogan, Islamized. So Turkey has, because of its history, because it was thoroughly secularized starting in 1919, but especially in the 1920s, such that even the Turkish government outlawed or banned women from wearing head coverings. It required every Turkish citizen to learn a different alphabet. No longer did they use the Arabic script, but then they moved to Latin or English letters. There's a long history of that, and so there is a proud secularist and therefore kind of democratic tradition in Turkey. So there will always, in Turkey, though there is a sort of rising Islamist sentiment or movement, there will always be that sort of traditional secular Turkish elite, especially couched in the Turkish military, that will provide kind of an armed check against any sort of Islamism. Whereas Egypt, if you look at the histories of the two countries in the 20th century, just as Turkey is becoming secular in the 1920s, Egypt is becoming kind of autocratic. But in Egypt, that's where you actually see the rise of these modern Islamist movements with the Muslim Brotherhood. There's always been a long history of in Egypt of Islamists attempting to, in the early days, remove secular autocrats and democratic institutions by force. Nowadays, you see this in the Arab Spring, using the actual democratic process. The Muslim Brotherhood has adopted what Shadi Hamid calls a gradualist approach to advancing the cause of Islam, using the stuff that people are accustomed to slowly transform things.
Well, I guess the question then is, does that indicate whether or not, because the end result wouldn't necessarily be democracy, but it would be whatever it is the advocates of the Islamic Revolution or want to see by way of government, then democracy is just a means to an end, right?
Yes, that's exactly the way Islamists will talk about it. It's a mean. That's what Erdogan of Turkey once said and got him in trouble back in, I think it was the 1990s when he was the mayor of Istanbul. He referred to democracy as a means, not an end. And yeah, I think he was thrown in jail for a couple months for that. So, but that's a common Islamist sentiment, using democracy rather than force, because they've learned after several decades now of violence that they just don't have the support or the logistical network to be successful in an armed revolution or overturning of an established government.
Does that help explain why large Muslim minorities, especially in Europe and elsewhere, can in certain cases peacefully exist within a democracy, whereas there may be, we don't know for sure, but there may be that same kind of goal in mind, maybe typified by the fact that those minorities refuse to assimilate entirely into those societies?
Absolutely. Now, you say things like that, and people will look at you as if you're advocating some sort of conspiracy theory or something like that. But there's certainly substantial evidence that a good percentage, it might be the minority, but it's a large minority of Muslims in a Western country, from Germany to the United States, are just sort of, if you will, biding their time. And do hope through civil means that there, and through procreation especially, that there will be a day, decades down the road, and they're a very patient lot, where things will become or fall more in line with Islam. So, and that's absolutely a part and parcel of Western, more passive Islamist rhetoric.
Dr. Adam Francisco is Associate Professor of History and Political Thought at Concordia University, Irvine, California. He's also author of the book, Martin Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good work, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Folks, you can take courses led by Dr. Adam Francisco and several of his fellow faculty members at Concordia University, Irvine, California, with Concordia University's Master of Arts in Theology program. Courses are taught online, that's convenient, and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology. That's cui.edu/theology. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., it's Christ in Psalm 91. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, continues with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.